Welcome to Off the Bench with Danny Cannell.
Back to throw, first and 10, the pass completes his tight end.
And Rajah Bell.
Bell has done everything. 22 for Rajah.
Saw the future of football right before your eyes. Just yell it out, man. He can't guard me.
Welcome to Off the Bench with Danny Cannell and Rajah Bell. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you guys enjoyed the NBA draft. We're going to dive deep into that, break down every single top 10 pick. We got five-star Q&A because it's Friday, one of our favorite segments of the week. And we're going to break down that Jameis Winston story and possible three-game suspension a little bit later. But you were here till late last night here at CBS Sports HQ breaking down the pick. Was there a moment of the draft? Because I was not into the NBA draft anywhere close to where I was in the NFL. And I
guess
it's different. It's a bigger deal. But I kind of was watching it on Twitter, kind of how you do stuff, like you monitor on Twitter. Was there anything of the night that kind of jumped out to you? One pick, one outfit, one reaction?
Yeah.
Anything that like really stood out to you above anything else?
The story of the night for me, there were two storylines when I was going in that I was looking for. One, it was when was Trae Young going to go? And that happened relatively early. Giving up the Hawks, giving up Luka Doncic, I think he could be like a star in the league. But you're getting incentivized with another first round pick like that. You might have to do that. Trae Young's a really good player as well, and I think he had a great workout there in Atlanta. But the real story of the night for me was the slide of Michael Porter Jr. You know, there was obviously more going on with that back then that was alluded to, or he was so like they kept him so secluded and weren't allowing people to see those medical records. There was just too much mystery behind what was going on with the back that people weren't willing to take the swing. So at 14, to a team like Denver that was already on the precipice of making the playoffs, you have a plug-in-and-play guy if his back is all right. It's the steal of the draft. Steal of maybe the last, I don't know, six, seven drafts in terms of what he could be if healthy.
And if you're him or you're his people, like you look at it, and I think you do try to look at, hey, you're going to an organization that has some young talent that was really close. And it's like having lived in Denver, like it's a great city to live in. You've got a franchise on the rise. That's where you try to sell it. Like, hey, let's go prove people wrong. I thought he and his people severely misplayed the pre-draft workouts, the injury, talk around the injury. Because he was even trying to silence people about the one of the workouts that he canceled. And he said, you know, I woke up in the morning and my hip was a little sore. So my agent canceled the workout. I'm like, well, why did you tell people your hip was sore? They're really worried about your back. And then all of a sudden you're throwing in your hip in the mix. Like, to me, it just could have been handled a lot better. Who knows if it would have changed dramatically.
It would have.
I think so, too. I think so, too. I thought the PR job that he and his agency did through this process cost him some money. And now it's up to him to go prove him wrong. And again, though, with a back injury, it's going to be one that teams take more seriously than any in the game, because I've had back issues. I know, like, firsthand, they don't just go away. It can haunt you.
With a back, you needed to come out and put to rest any notion that there was a problem with that back. I'm talking about even to the point of getting whatever shots you need to have. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To make sure that you can have that workout. When you're talking about when you're talking about lottery pick status and or potentially falling the way he did or even further, you have to work out. There's no way that you can cancel the workout, not reschedule it, not allow these teams to come in there and see you. Like, I don't care what you were as a high school senior or what you could potentially be as a pro. I have to know that you can get on those 2 feet and do certain things at a minimum. Not showing people that was a huge mistake.
So I was really curious to Michael Porter Jr.'s reaction. Like, how would he handle the media after mishandling so much of the pre-draft process? Here he is. I thought he handled it really well.
And I was answering the question. You know, people compare me to T-Mac. Some people compare me to KD. I got a lot of steps that I can't skip in order to get as good as those guys. And I understand that. You know, I view myself as wanting to be the best player of all time. And there's a lot of steps to get there. But that's what I want to do. And I understand that it's a process.
I mean, his face is glowing right there. You can tell, if you didn't see the video, if you're listening on the podcast, like, he is excited about where he is. There's no, I can't believe I dropped. There's no sulking. There's no animosity. Yeah. Like, I thought he handled it perfectly afterwards.
I honestly, like, there's got to be more going on with that back, right? And I think
so
he and his camp knew that. I think there was a lot of relief that he went at 14. I'm like, they know what they did in that. Mark Bartlestein is as good an agent as there is out there. He's handled some really high-profile guys. He's made people a lot of money. They had to know with him pulling out of workouts and whatnot what that looked like for him on draft night. Yeah. So that Denver would take him at 14, there probably had to be a huge amount of relief. I actually like the kid. I've seen multiple interviews. Seems like he's got his head on his shoulders. He's a really good player with a huge upside. Denver's going to get up and down the court. The beauty of Denver for me and plugging him in is they've got a bunch of playmakers. They've got guys that can really create for each other, and he's going to be the beneficiary of a lot of that because he finishes. Like, he's one of those guys that you played with him wherever you go. Might not always look the best, even though his does, but they have a knack for putting it in the bucket. Like, he's got a true knack for scoring, and Denver's a really good situation. So it worked out for him, but I would not be surprised at all. Honest to God, I would not be surprised if this year, you know, 20 games in, they got to shut him down because there's a back issue. There's something really wrong there. It's the reason why he slipped like that.
All right, so you talked about it, Trae Young. Where would he go? He was probably the most popular, polarizing college basketball player last year. He took the world by storm, kind of burst on the scene. Nobody heard of him. And you had a European player in Luka Doncic, who I've been working on his name forever because I've butchered it 8,000 different ways. But I don't feel that bad because everybody else, I think, has butchered it too as we get to know him a little bit better. But you mentioned the trade earlier. Here are both players talking to CBS Sports HQ last night during the draft. Here's their reaction to what went on.
I've been talking to Dallas, you know, before. When I was in Spain, I talked a lot about with Dallas, you know. They've been so nice to me. I really like them, so... And like I said, I'm really happy to be a part of the Dallas Mavericks.
I'm super excited. I know I'm joining a great organization. I'm super excited to get to Atlanta and see the city and see all the fans and hopefully attend a Braves or a Falcons game here soon, too.
Oh, look at that. Little shout out to the other professionals. Always a smart move.
Smart, but except like
you ain't getting to
a Falcons game anytime soon.
No, but you got to sell it because you know you'll have those fans on your side if you go there and stroke the other teams.
All right. Our own Rip Hamilton threw out a great name for Luka last night. Hedo Turkoglu.
As a comp,
yeah. And I want to say, because I've got, like, he is polarizing for me, Luka himself, because on one hand, I see all the stuff that he does in the EuroLeague. He can play pick and roll. He's 6'8". He gets to the rim. He can shoot the ball. That's all gold in the NBA in a 6'8 frame. That's just great. On the other hand, I see him struggle to create separation at times. He doesn't look like he's got a great first step. The fast twitch doesn't appear to be what NBA average is. And I hear people all the time say, oh, it doesn't matter. You need to be skilled. Damn that. Damn it. You need to be a damn athlete to play in the NBA because that's the world's greatest athlete. So
right.
If you don't have enough fast twitch, I don't care what your skill level is, you become relegated to doing certain things. And Hedo was a 6'8 guy that could play. He was a really good player. So I would tend to think that that's the type of player Luka winds up being. A damn good player in the NBA. Hedo was good, hard to guard, could do a lot of stuff, was great with the Orlando Magic when they were making their runs. It's not shabby at all. But I don't know that he's going to be that Dirk Nowitzki type of European player. And
does that justify him being taken third? Like, is that worthy of that pick? Is that a successful draft if you're looking at it from a Dallas Mavericks standpoint?
If you got Hedo Turkoglu out of that, I mean, I think you would have hoped for a higher ceiling. But at the end of the day, if you got Hedo in his prime, because this kid is he's ready now. You know what I mean? It's not like you're going to have to wait 5 years for this. He's been a pro now for 4 or 5 years. So you're going to drop him in, and he's going to be ready to go to some degree. So I think, yeah, that's successful. But you would have hoped when you're swinging at that and you're moving up to get it, that it winds up being – somewhere higher than Hedo, maybe beneath Dirk, somewhere in the middle of that.
So Trae Young, we heard him talking about going to Atlanta to the Hawks. I love his game. Like, I think he fits the NBA, the current NBA, the future of the NBA, the way he can shoot, the way he extends the floor. He's gonna make defenses come out and cover him. There have been some comparisons to Steph, which is kind of unfair to Trae Young because we're talking about the best shooter of all time. But I think he's a guy that could make an impact earlier than a lot of these guys. Because some of these guys you have to project 4, 5, 6 years down the road before you know if they hit. And I think he obviously has to put on a little weight. He's got to get a little bit stronger to handle the physicality of the league. But if you come in with the ready-made jumper the way he's shown, you can do some things.
You can score the ball. They're not going to let defenders now get up and grab and make a smaller guard's life as miserable as we used to be able to do. So all of that speaks to him. You know, being able to have some success out there offensively. A lot of it is going to depend on what Lloyd Pierce, the new head coach there in Atlanta, does with him. Like, what type of offense do they run? Is this going to be wide open, free flowing? Are you going to let him have the autonomy to kind of do what he did at Oklahoma, which is, you know, that was the beauty of Steph. They just let this beautiful mind go to some degree. You know, they saw what he could do. Once they figured out what he did, then they could start tweaking the offense around him a little bit. So I think that type of player is going to need that kind of freedom for you to really, you know, get the most out of the pick. But I tend to agree with you, Danny. I think he, in today's NBA, when you can shoot the ball and stretch the floor like that, and the other thing, like, Steph is so good because he's got such great vision. This kid's got excellent vision, too. He led the nation in assists. He should be good at the next level.
All right, so we haven't even hit on DeAndre Ayton, the number one overall pick. Yeah. Probably because it was with no surprise.
Too cocky.
Really?
Too cocky.
Whoa. So you're bringing in. What did you say about the second contract thing?
I think that was just an 18-year-old being an 18-year-old.
Right. He said his judgment of success is he wanted to get to his second contract.
I don't have a beef. Congratulations, DeAndre Ayton. Like, I think they got it right from the Suns' perspective. You had to take that. Like, I've got no beef with the pick or anything, but the way he talks is a little bit over the top for me. Like, the NBA's never seen anything like me. What the hell are you talking about? Right. Like, seriously, what the f*** are you talking about? The NBA's never seen anything like me.
All right, hold up. Let's hear it from his mouth, because we had him on CBS Sports HQ as well after he was selected, and talking about the future of the Suns. Let's hear what he said.
It's just breathtaking, you know, in that moment, when you're actually in the moment. You don't want to rush it. You just want to really soak it in. So when I shook his hand and really gave him a hug and he told me, like, congratulations, I really felt it. And, you know, just, it was like, you know, it's another thing watching it from TV, but actually being in a moment, that's when all the emotions kick in. And I really tried my best to keep it professional and, you know, just try to keep it moving. But I really soaked in the moment and I started to get nervous, like, man, I'm really the number one pick. You know, dreams do come to a reality, and, you know, I spoke it into existence.
Whoa, how can you not like the guy? He sounded all right there. Sounded pretty humble. No, I know where you're going.
But he's a bohemian kid. Like, yeah. I'm born in St. Croix.
Yeah, you should be
like, I am rooting for him. I just think that you can go over the top with some of that I'm confident in myself, and I'm going to project this confidence type of thing. There's something to be said for, like, a humble confidence, right?
Yeah.
Like a reserved, like, yo, I'm the dude. I'm going to show you in these workouts that I'm the dude. Not I'm going to get in front of this microphone and profess that I'm the dude. You know what I mean?
Well, I think he's going to realize in a hurry once he steps into the Phoenix Suns locker room that stuff doesn't fly in anywhere, because it doesn't matter in any sport, any organization, where you're picked. It doesn't matter. You have to earn the respect of your teammates. They're going to make you earn it, because they're just going to hand you a silver platter and say, welcome to the club. We're going to build around you. You have to prove work ethic. You have to prove compatibility with everybody. Like, there's so many things he's going to have to prove to his teammates. And I hope he goes in there, because maybe it is all for show. It's pre-draft stuff. But you've got to go in there, and you kind of have to almost submit yourself to the franchise and say,
sure,
I'm here for you guys. What do I need to do to be the best I can be?
Tricky spot for a number one pick.
Yeah.
Right? Because you think they drafted you to be the face of the franchise.
Yep.
Right? But they got Devin Booker, who's the face of the franchise. Right? And so it's a really delicate, relationship. You don't want to come in there and completely get walked over, but you don't want to go in there and say, this is my show, and upset the apple cart. You know what's going to be really good for him? It could be, at least if he takes it the right way. Tyson Chandler.
Yeah.
I played with him in Charlotte. He's tough. He's rugged. And I really hope that Tyson goes at the young fella in a loving way, though.
Yeah.
Like, you're my rook. I'm going to because Tyson's a great defensive big, like, quarterback the defense, physical, old school. This kid's probably way more offensively gifted than Tyson, but go through his chest early. Like, let him know that this is a man's league and that he needs to kind of, like, start from ground zero and build his way up, and then teach him how to build his way up, right? And that's what good vets did. That's what they did for me, right? They beat the hell out of you because they were better than you, and then they started teaching you how they were beating you. And so, you know, by the time you're done with that first year, like, I can hang with you a little bit. You've taught me. I'm your rook. Like, and there's a reverence there, right? And my rooks are still, I mean, my vets, I still call them my vets. Even I'm 40 years old.
Right.
You know?
That impact, I think, is so invaluable. And I think you've seen it happen in a couple of different organizations. Like when KG, when they brought him back to Minnesota, they're like, we're going to keep him around for a year as a player.
Right.
There's a different relationship between a player and another player. And even if you have a coach who's a first-year coach, maybe a young guy assistant, it's still different than a guy who's in the locker room with you every single day. A guy like Udonis Haslem, like, there's a reason the Heat have kept him along for so long, because for so long, because he's a positive impact on young players.
Right.
I would prefer to find old school guys like you're talking about too, because there is a new attitude that is more selfish than ever in young players, and you've got to try to get them to buy into a team atmosphere, because that's the only way you're going to win and have any success long term.
Yep.
All right, let's do a little 10-second recap of the top 10 picks. All right, 10 for 10. We're going to call it that, all right? Just came up with that. It's pretty genius. Right. I should be producing this show, Debo. All right, first up, DeAndre Ayton.
Solid pick. You couldn't go wrong there. Physically fits the bill in your backyard. He's probably got one of the higher ceilings in the draft, so I'm good with that.
All right, Marvin Bagley III, your guy.
Very easily, I had him as my number one pick. Yeah, I'd always been the best player in his class. Didn't do anything to disappoint. ACC Player of the Year. Better motor than DeAndre Ayton. Maybe not as high a ceiling, but that's a good pick at two. Solid, solid.
All right, Luka Doncic going to Dallas.
Why trade him?
Right.
Like, why trade him if you're Atlanta? That would be my only thing. But you're getting another first-round pick for it. First-round picks are like gold in the NBA, not just to use them, but to use in deals and incentivize stuff. So I'm okay with that. He should have been the number three pick in the draft.
What about Jaren Jackson Jr.?
Swing. That's a swing there. That's a pure like potential play. He's got the genes. He's long, 6'11", but he did only play 21 minutes a game and wasn't a huge impact for Michigan State. So we're playing futures with Jaren to a degree.
Mo Bamba going to the Magic.
Another futures pick, but I like Mo Bamba. They're stockpiling long Jonathan Isaac type of lengthy dudes. John Hammond did it in Milwaukee. He has been said to have way more in him than he got to show at the college level because of the tightness of the college game. People think that when the game spreads out, he's going to be way more impactful. Said to maybe have the highest ceiling in the draft, so I'm cool with that.
All right, Wendell Carter Jr., another Dukie going to the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, like if then Marvin Bagley wasn't at Duke, Wendell Carter would have looked a lot better, and he looked good at times this year. And I think when you pair him with Lauri Markkanen, you got a nice 1-2 punch going on in Chicago.
My favorite pick of the draft, the Cavs get the steal and Colin Sexton.
I did not love that pick.
Why?
I did not. I got it. But listen.
My man is going to take over the game.
I hope you're right. I'm not cheering against the kid. I just don't love his game. He doesn't shoot the ball very well. He's
kind of like a Russell Westbrook.
He is an alpha, except if Russell's an A, he's like a C.
right, but he's young. He can develop.
He could, yeah. Super athlete like Russell. I don't know if he's as big as Russell, but he does have that dog in him. He's got that fire. He's not going to defer back down. And you have to have that as that type of player in the NBA.
All right, I'm curious to see what you think of this one, because the Knicks fans hated it. Another time when the Knicks fans boo their own pick. Kevin Knox.
Would have certainly been Michael Porter Jr. for me.
That's the pass. Yeah, that's the one they missed on.
Kevin Knox, it's a futures play. 6'9", kind of shooter. Doesn't appear to really like to get to the rim off the bounce or have the skill set to do that yet. But he's long and he can shoot the ball. They ran him off of screens. So if you can get another, shooter, perimeter type of player to pair with Kristaps, like, I'm not mad at you, but I would have went Michael Porter. That is about the area where I started really tripping out about why Michael Porter Jr. wasn't going off the board yet.
All right, last one on our 10 for 10. Mikal Bridges going to the Suns.
Sixers again, man. It just made all the sense in the world for a lot of reasons. He was plug in and play, and I heard Brett Brown say he had to think with his GM cap and not his coach cap, and they got a 2021 first rounder. I believe it's unprotected, or it doesn't matter, but unprotected. And in that draft, they are probably going to have high school kids in, so you're going to have double the amount of talent. It's a lottery ticket, so I understand why you had to do it.
All right. Love it. 10 for 10. That was it. 10 for 10 picks. 10 seconds on each of them. Let's do a little you have to see it.
You have to see it.
Okay. Because there were some outfits last night where they were all the buzz. But historically, we've also had some pretty out there outfits. I think it's funny. So that's Michael Olowokandi from 1998.
Big suits, baby.
Exactly.
The big suits.
Baggy. Those are MC Hammer. Oh. How about LeBron James suit. Going all white. Yeah, the baggy look was definitely in, built for comfort.
My wedding tux was a big seven-button suit.
Speed. How about your boy Derrick Rose starting to clean up a little bit? That's a clean look.
That's a clean look.
Like, he looks pretty good with David Stern there, and he's healthy for once. How about your boy Anthony Bennett?
Anthony Bennett, man, if your game was as nice as the suit. We'd have had action, bro.
You could see there was some weight issues coming into play already. As I think he didn't he put on a bunch of weight?
Yeah, he struggled. Had bad asthma issues and stuff like that,
I think. That's not helpful. No. And then last night, DeAndre Ayton, clean
three piece.
Nice splash of color.
Little tie bar.
Tie bar might be too high, though, for my taste.
Yeah.
You might could lower it just a little bit, but you have vest issues going on
the
there.
The watch there is peeking out, too. I like
that. Yeah, there was some serious
there was
bling.
There's some
bling that was going around there, too. How about Trae Young? Did you see Trae Young?
I did not. I'm waiting.
Debo, can we throw that up there real quick before we get to you have to hear it?
Yeah.
I have to get Raja's reaction to this one.
Hey, no.
That's a
hard no for me.
Kind of a tux like look up top.
Hard pass.
There's a couple big no-nos. Lonnie Walker's hat couldn't fit. It looks like it's propped to the little pole because of his dreads up top. That was pretty funny.
Like, can we get some visors on the NBA set so guys could go either hat
right through?
Because every fourth guy now has a head of hair like that, right?
That is true.
Can we get some visors?
That is true. The problem, there were a couple fashion faux pas for Trae Young.
Yeah.
One, you can do the short suit, but you got to do it outside.
Outside. What do you
like? Summertime is okay.
Danny.
It has to be an outside event. You can't be in.
Okay. So they all right.
We're on the same page on that one. The other thing, he had the maroon going, which is, if you're going to make one statement, just do it with the suit, not the color as well. Yeah, right. The funny thing was that his whole posse, like his crew that was with him, they all had on the maroon. It was almost like a wedding party.
Everybody was matching. You've overthought this.
Yes, doing too much is exactly what they were doing. All right, how about you have to hear it?
You have to hear it.
So the Kings are getting a basketball player and a rapper in Marvin Bagley. Of course they are, because everyone does both nowadays. And we have to judge it, so let's have a little listen.
All right.
Marvin Bagley.
Look, heart of a lion, I know they was lying. When I was going through the motions, I wasn't even trying. Now I'm all up in the game like EA. Trying to clear my thoughts, I ain't worried about what he say. I worry about what she say, cause that'll cause drama. I don't want no problems, they told me get it. I went and got it, I ain't playing games with them. Visionary flow, I'm trying to be a billionaire by 23.
Okay, brother.
Right.
That's not bad. I mean, he's a baby too. He's a pup. What say you on the?
So I was gonna say it's eerily familiar to the rap video that's out there of me because they have me like writing the lyrics down and kind of rapping them out, and they have me at the microphone on the video. So I think it's not that hard.
Where is the video?
The video is out there. It does exist on a VHS tape. They had all of them. It's not that hard to rap. Like, especially if you do it like that. He's kind of like talking through.
Yeah.
Like, it's not really like hardcore. It's not fast. It's not in. It's just, he's kind of like poet. Like, he's.
Poetry. Yeah, it's like spoken word almost.
Yes, yeah. So it's not that. It doesn't take that much talent.
Yeah, well, I've never professed to be a rapper, so I don't really have a. I can't rap. You know what I can do, though?
I can't either, but I tried.
I can read.
Yeah,
I can. So next segment, we're going to go to read and react.
Read and react.
I'll read.
Okay.
You react.
Perfect.
All right, here we go.
Good transition.
All right, thank you, bro. I'm working on my stuff. All right, so Jameis Winston reportedly facing a multi-game suspension for violating the league's personal conduct policy. Tampa plays New Orleans on the road week one, then Super Bowl champs Eagles and the Steelers for the first 3 weeks.
This is a bummer to me for a bunch of reasons. One, I'm a Jameis Winston fan.
Yeah.
Went to Florida State. I got a lot of heat for defending him through his the accusations that were levied against him while he was at Florida State. And then it becomes harder and harder to defend somebody when they continue to make really bad decisions. And this is one of those cases where it's probably going to be a he said, she said between him and this Uber driver. He claims it was his buddy, Ronald Darby, who was a teammate, which seems like the ultimate fall guy.
Right.
It wasn't. In any case, you simply cannot put yourself in a position to even have any impropriety. Like, you can't put yourself out there.
Yep.
That's why normally I'd be like, well, how can the NFL do this if it's just accusations? But with him, he's had his opportunities. You've got to be so pristine and keep such, you know, close control of who you're hanging out with, what you're doing at all times.
Situations.
There's no leeway. There's no margin for error.
You've almost forced my hand now.
Yep.
If I'm the NFL, like, you just continually, like, you came into the league, you had this stuff at Florida State, and then, you know, with the young lady, and then there was the crab legs. There's just silly
all
stuff.
All of it.
And like, crab legs, I don't really care about crab legs.
Nope.
The
And then he stood up in the student union and yelled something that was offensive to women, which, again, in a vacuum, if it's just one kid doing that, it's not that big a deal. But
right.
We have a collection of bad decisions.
Now you got to.
You're going to get punished harshly for it, and that's what you're seeing play out.
Yeah. All right. Well, I hope it works out for for Jameis, and that sucks for Tampa Bay. You know what? That what people forget in situations like that, whether you cheer for Jameis or not, is it really screws the Tampa Bay.
Absolutely, it does. They got to go with Ryan Fitzpatrick now, and it's a huge year for him contractually. Him and Dirk Koetter, the coaching staff, Jason Light. It's a one that could have far-reaching consequences, for sure.
All right, well, let's move from a sad story, potentially, to a pretty cool one. Mbappe becomes the youngest French. Did I say that correct?
You did, because I had to double-check with Debo on this one.
Mbappe, Kylian Mbappe, he becomes the youngest French goal scorer. He's 19 years old in 183 days. He scored for France to top Peru 1-0 in advance to the knockout stage.
I actually watched a lot. It's been on like kind of like background noise. I've just put on the World Cup like by default to watch him. So I actually saw his game. What was the first thing you saw of when you see his name in written word across the screen? Is there anything that, like, if I just said like Rorschach test, like what comes to mind? What came to mind for you?
And Mbappe?
Yeah.
Mbop.
Me too. The Hanson song. Like, I was wondering if it's such like an old Debo and Hannah are probably like, what are you guys talking about? That's the first thing I thought about was the boy band from back in the day.
Take it or leave it.
All right. Well, let's stay in the World Cup because I might have gotten this wrong the other day. Messi cannot be considered the GOAT. Take it or leave it. Argentina on the brink of World Cup exit after a 3-0 loss to Croatia. Messi has not scored a goal in this World Cup on 12 shots. He's only put 3 of them on frame, and he's committed 4 fouls through 2 games.
I'm going to leave it. I think that would be an instant overreaction. You got to take in, when you're considering the GOAT conversation, you have to look at a complete body of work. And if you look at what he's done, leading Barcelona to the 9 La Liga titles, 4 UEFA Champions League titles, he had 5, how do you say the player of the world, Ballon d'Or? Is that how you say
it? I don't know.
I'll let Debo give the proper pronunciation for that one. But it's bigger than just this game. It's been bad in the World Cup for him. He has not had the best World Cup legacy.
Well, I've been getting killed from this. My buddy Brian McCartney kills me because I said that I wasn't ready to say Ronaldo was better than
Ronaldo's
Messi.
Got 4 goals already early.
I do think that you do have to look at the whole body of work. But that, like, when you're talking about who the GOAT is right now, you have to factor in his struggles in this World Cup.
Yep. I mean,
this is the biggest stage. Could this be the decline of Messi? Is this just this tournament? Is there something going on in his personal life? I don't know, but this is a bad look.
You know what he's got going on? He has the weight of an entire country on his shoulders, and I don't think I don't watch a lot of soccer, but I can read body language. When he came out, there was this look of anguish, pressure. Like, you could see it was weighing on it. I've never seen anything like that.
You probably don't have the answer to this. I don't, because I don't watch soccer like that.
Right.
Is his team, like, is that a team that's good enough around him? Or is this, like, Messi, take us to, like, the second round of...
I think he has to carry him somewhat. This is very much a guess.
Right.
But from everything I've heard and read, I don't think they were favorites to win the World Cup. Yeah. But I think they were expected to at least have a better performance than they've had so far.
So that's
they were second last time. I didn't know that. They got up just short. Obviously a big fallback for them.
All right. The Atlanta Falcons should be uncomfortable with Julio Jones' relationship with Terrell Owens. Take it or leave it. Jones and Owens have been training together. Apparently it's made Atlanta front office a little easy.
I am taking that all day. Not from a physical, because T.O. keeps himself in great shape.
Right. Ran a 4-4 the other day.
Yes. It has nothing to do with that. We were talking earlier about the NBA, the veterans in locker rooms, how you want to have a good voice and teach them the ropes, kind of show them what to do. You do not want T.O., one of the most selfish players ever to play in the NFL, offering Julio Jones advice on contracts, what to do, how to handle, because Julio Jones obviously is very upset. He's not pleased with his contract. I guarantee you T.O. is giving him bad advice.
Okay, well, so this is what T.O. says. This is what he said to Bleacher Report's Mike Freeman. This is the media trying to create something that's not even there. What possible reason would they have to create that narrative?
It's T.O. against the world.
T.O. being T.O.?
Everybody does it. It's just the little subtleties, too.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
What do you think you could run the 40 in right now?
That's a good question. So Brady famously put down one of the worst 40 times ever. Have you seen that video?
Yeah,
it's like goes out there all the time.
Yeah.
I think he put down a 5.3. I think I could run a 5.3 or better.
Right now.
Right now, like out the back door, go out and do it. 5.3, I think I could get. Now,
yeah.
Well, of course, is like jumping all over this opportunity. I'm only doing it if Rajah does it.
Yeah, I'd like to read. I asked my trainer the other day what he thought I could
run.
What'd
he say?
What did he say? He didn't give me an answer for what he thought I could run now. He gave me an answer for what he thought I could run when I was like in my prime.
Oh, then you, yeah.
Yeah.
What did he say? 4.6, 4.7?
He thought I could run like a 4.5, 4.5. 4-6 in my prime. But
my entire goal throughout the draft process was to not have a 5 in front of it. Just 4-9-9 was all I was looking for. And I got it. I actually got 4-7-8 and a 4-8-1.
There you go.
I was like, boom, let's go.
Flying, baby.
Jets. Motoring.
All right. Dwight Howard obviously has been traded recently. He's talking about a buyout. Dwight Howard will be remembered more for antics than game. Take it or leave it. Brooklyn negotiating the buyout with him right now, and then we'll see what he nets on the open market.
I'm going to take this. As strong a start as he had to his career, when he was one of the faces of the NBA, won the dunk contest, takes Orlando to the finals. Like, this was a guy that you looked at and said, all right, this guy's going to have a Hall of Fame career that nobody's going to question. How many titles will he win? And I don't know if it was the move to the Lakers and his kind of relationship with Kobe, which kind of turned that was a career turning point.
Right.
He still had some success when he went to Houston. But this is a player that is absolutely going to be remembered more for the disappointing end and back end of his career than the way it started.
Yeah. I think that the antics, I don't know that it's antics he'll be remembered for, but I definitely agree with you. That's talent probably, or potential unfulfilled maybe. But this guy is a 8-time All-Star, 5-time All-NBA first time, 3-time Defensive Player of the Year. He's averaging over like 17 points a game on a career and 58% field goal percentage and just over like 12.5 rebounds a game. He is borderline Hall of Fame. The problem is when you come in and you look like Dwight Howard and you've got all that potential, like, that unfortunately might not be good enough for people to say that you maxed out. Like,
right.
You know, but, you know.
He looks like a guy who got paid and was totally happy. Like, just, I got my money and I don't have to do anything else, and like never really pushed himself to stay at an elite level or to chase down championships. It's already like, hey, I'm going to get paid. I don't care where I'm playing, who I'm playing with. Just, I got my money, which is a lot of guys. I just think some guys hide it better than others, and I think Dwight was just totally content just being a wealthy, set-for-life NBA player, and that was it.
You think he gambles?
Ooh, why?
Because we got a segment coming up where we can get him involved, baby.
You like that one? That's a great segment.
He got a lot of money.
I was like, have you seen him at the casino or something?
You know something I don't know? Is he throwing? No, picks and props. Debo, what do we got?
Picks and props.
If you take a look at the standings, Raja, 12-4-1, leading the pack. If he was actually, Raj, you have to actually gamble on this because you're on a hot streak. You would be making a lot of money. Danny, 10-7-1. I'm slightly behind, but I picked one more game. 10-8-1 for me. And Hannah got that win, saying that Grayson Allen was selected in the first round. A little bit of bias there, but 3-9-1. So we're going to have our listeners involved coming up because every day at Canell and Bell on Twitter, we're going to put up a poll, and the consensus is going to be how we treat the listeners in the standings. So we got a new person, a new group of people, our bench warmers to compete with. But the pick today, Danny, you were frustrated the other day that we didn't include soccer. We're going to soccer. It's Brazil -2 versus Costa Rica. By the time this podcast is out, this game might even be over. Danny, I think you have a little bit of help with your picks recently, though.
I do. My daughter, who's 5, Brady, shout out to Brady.
Brady
is 4-1 on her World Cup pick so far. She's going with Brazil. I'm jumping all over Brazil. I also, bonus pick for you, I'm taking the over as well.
Wow.
The total goals scored in this game.
So Brazil wins. Easy.
But they got to win by 2.
2-0 in Brazil.
That's right. A push, right?
They have to win by 3 for you to win this bet, though.
But you could push.
Oh, I'm taking Costa Rica.
Whoa! All right.
Yeah, I'm taking Costa Rica. Brazil's got to win by 3 goals.
Brazil's going to win like 6-0. This is going to be a break.
I hope you're right. I want Brazil. I love Brazil, but
yeah, they're going to break out of it right here.
Yeah.
The over-under for that one set at 2.5. So the prop here. Grayson Allen selected number 21 overall to the Utah Jazz, and I don't really have to explain why this is the perfect fit out in Utah. The over-under is set at 100,000 Grayson Allen jerseys that are purchased in the state of Utah by Monday morning.
Over all day long.
Ridiculous.
Like, it's going to be a million, jerseys. Whatever the population of Utah
That's
is.
That's what it'll be?
Yes.
So fantastic.
At least half of it.
Do you know we sat on the set last night, and it was getting to the range, and Nick Costas, we're on the set, and he actually says, what are you two doing over there? Because Rip and I are, like, scribbling. And I had just asked Rip, like, where is Grayson Allen going to go soon? And we both looked at it, and I pointed to Utah, and Rip pointed to Boston, and we were like, he's going to one of those two.
It worked out perfectly. Some things are just as they are, right? Exactly.
He's a good player, though. It's a good fit, too.
Right. I thought he went a lot of reasons. Yeah, no, I thought he went higher than I anticipated he would. We have a bonus prop for our boy Raja. Is that all right, Debo?
All right.
So If there's a goal, soccer goal,
yep,
you get 10 penalty kicks on any World Cup goal, like a good World Cup goalie.
Bro, and I can score?
How many can you score out of 10 goals? I had, so Debo set it for me at half a goal, and I was like, I'm over all day long.
I get 10 PKs?
10 PKs. How many can you score? I'd say two and a half is the number. So you don't think you can get more than two?
Close.
It's not. It's more luck than it is skill.
Well, you
and I can put. I can make good contact. Like that's all it's about.
Yeah, but you got to put that thing on frame. Like you got to.
I don't think you do.
Yeah. What do you mean you? Do? If you don't put it, if you don't put it on frame, you don't got to make the
target,
save.
There's a huge. But yeah, all you got to do is put it in the window. I don't even think you have to get close to the goalpost. Like you, just get it in.
No,
he's gonna guess.
No, yeah, he's gonna guess.
See, he has to.
No, that's true. I would say I could put in two. That's a good number at 2.5.
See, he put mine at a half, which is insulting.
Yeah, I'd say over if you put me at 2.5. He put you at 2.5. Let's say 3.
No, he put me at a half, and I said over all day long.
I think I can make 2.
It's easy money. All right, we have to do that. We have to do that with each other. We'll have each other defend the goal.
So here, I got in goal. My wife was a player of the year at FIU in soccer, right?
Yep.
And so, I talk a lot of junk. And I'm like, dude, this is not that hard. Let me get in goal. I'm big. I'm 6'5". I'm long. I don't think you can score. I got in the goal and tried to stop her PKs.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. I couldn't guess right. I couldn't get to the
ball. Nothing was happening.
She's putting it in the corners. Like, it was ridiculous.
let's play a little game. Let's have a little fun. All right. All right? Because one of the biggest stories of the night last night was Adrian Wojnarowski.
Fantastic.
Who was just, 3 hours before the draft, he put out the top 6 picks.
Yeah,
And after there was a very, sternly worded memo from the NBA to everybody, all the reporters, we don't want stuff out there early.
Right.
So he tweaked him a little bit by getting creative with his vocabulary. Because technically, he wasn't saying, this is going to happen. He worked his way around it. So Debo's got a little game for us. What do you got for us?
Yeah, so some of those terms that he used, has a laser on, probably the best one, are fixated on, is tantalized by, unlikely to resist, is zeroing in on. So the NBA draft, known for like kind of their drinking games, any draft in the NBA, it's wingspan, it's long arms, it's upside, it's potential, it's freak athlete, it's ceiling. I just picked a word that's kind of associated with the draft, something that Raja used to describe Michael Porter Jr. earlier. So the word is steal. I want you guys to come up with a list of synonyms for the word steal. There's about 30 of them. I used the trusty thesaurus.com, which got me through college.
That's a lot of pressure here on the radio.
Steal. All right. Steal. So what else do you do to steal? Swiped?
Yeah, swiped is a good one. You just grabbed. Nabbed.
rhyming.
Let's see.
You have a little rap.
What else do you got? pilfered.
You are showcasing it right now. I'm just letting you
know.
I'm drawing a blank. I got swiped. That's why.
Try to think.
All right, next game. Next one. This has got to be a time limit.
That's the only word.
Oh, that was the only word?
That was the only word.
All right, thank goodness, because I don't know how good I would have done on this one. All right, what do you got for topics, Debo?
Topics.
Danny, an update from the other day. I don't know if the final bid was you, but that J.R. Smith jersey has been sold, and you were close to the final price, $23,548, nearly double his career point total of $12,057.
That was a prop.
Some lucky person or unlucky person.
You don't get no points.
He's lobbying
for points.
That better be on the win column on my picks and props. I told you, some collector is going to do this, and the crazy thing about this is, in 10 years, he'll probably sell it for $250,000.
Yeah.
It's only going to get bigger the more time that he's got it now in the history and the annals of the NBA. Like, this is going to be worth more money in the long term.
I guess.
It is, man. Go look at some of the, like, the balls that have the baseball that – what's the dude's name for the
– Bartman. Clubs?
Yeah.
Chris Wagner.
Like, that one's going to be worth a boatload of money. Like, it's like, it doesn't matter that it was a boneheaded play.
Crazy.
It's going to be worth a lot. All right, what's out? What else?
So sometimes, as Danny knows, and as Raja has sometimes been able to avoid because of his lack of Twitter presence, the internet can be a bad place. It has been a bad place for Ayesha Curry. She's just simply trying to open up a restaurant called International Smoke in Houston. The problem is her husband, Steph, recently beat the Houston Rockets to get to the NBA Finals. Rockets fans taking it out on Ayesha and her Yelp restaurant reviews. It's kind of a battle between two fan bases. So right now, International Smoke has 359 five-star reviews, presumably from the Bay Area faithful, and 279 one-star reviews from Houston fans.
And this has not even opened yet, right?
It has not opened.
Fantastic.
As always, you can rate us only 5 stars on Apple Podcasts.
Right.
What do you make of this?
Why not open your restaurant in the Bay Area? Why take that and open it in Houston?
That's a great call. Like,
what the hell is wrong with you? I love Aisha.
The worst place she can do it is in Cleveland. Yeah. Like why don't you open in Cleveland? Right down the street from LeBron's house. She's making a career for her. Like, good for her. Like,
yeah, totally.
She is making her inroads. She's very creative. She's a fun follow on Twitter. But this is just part of the game.
Like, yeah, you got to take it with a grain of salt.
This is one of those things where because you aren't opened yet, any pub is good pub. Like, more people are talking about her place. Now they'll try it. Like, not anybody's going to look at the Yelp review and say, oh, I'm not going to try it because there's a 1 star.
Right.
It's not open yet.
You know what? Like, they are such good people. Like, the Curry family. And I don't know Aisha. I mean, I met her when I was out there with Steph as a rook. But Dell and the mom and they have just such a great family. It's hard not to pull for them. Mm-hmm. So, for that reason, Houston, leave Aisha the hell alone. Like,
yeah, right?
She should be in the Bay Area, but leave her be.
Yeah.
So, speaking of international smokes, Luka Doncic, he wants to buy a Tiger. He wants to date Jennifer Aniston. So already lovable before the draft. That's before we saw his mom. And I'm just going to steal this from Andre Iguodala. He said, and he tweeted, "Mom's decent. Forget Jan Beck's girlfriend. This is Doncic, the new draft day standard."
Strong.
Word.
Quite strong.
Yeah.
He's got good genes.
Yeah,
he really does. Yeah, he's got really good jeans.
She's got nice jeans on too.
I'm just white jeans in the photo. This is one where she was a former model.
Right.
Good, where it could be like dudes are gonna have fun with this in the locker
dudes
room.
Dudes are gonna have a good time with this in the locker room for sure.
Like, I just hope they're European. Like, I wonder if there was some topless poses earlier, because if there were, those are going to be in the locker room somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to post them on them.
Was dad there last night? Is it like,
I don't know what the home life is like.
To do too deep of a dive here.
Yeah.
But hopefully she's like not a mom that needs to be like on the scene, because he's going to have a whole lot of like press and he's going to have a platform, and hopefully she'll let like son have the moment and she's not out there wilding out, like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, hopefully she's just
a female version of LeVar Ball.
Yeah, hopefully it's not like that.
I don't think
correct.
So. You would have already heard from her a lot.
True that.
Yeah.
I was trying to look up how old she is, but I guess my internet search has to dive a little deeper. So Ichiro, kind of out of the game, but not out of our hearts. Still very involved with the Mariners, constantly takes batting practice. There was a video of him the other day hitting home runs in batting practice, making it look easy. Last night, semi-unrecognizable Ichiro in the dugout with this fake mustache disguise. Ichiro's just the gift that keeps giving even when he retires. People jokingly, but not so jokingly, saying they want him to participate in the home run derby. That can only be good for baseball, right? Look at this guy.
That'd be great for baseball.
Only if he wears the mustache.
Yeah, and the hoodie, over while he's doing it as the Unabomber. So supposedly Ichiro, there's a language barrier, obviously, but he does speak English.
Right.
But he doesn't like to use it, so he never does it. And he kind of feigns it in interviews. He'll say, like, I don't understand English, so he doesn't have to do press, which is a genius idea.
Right.
But apparently he's got, like, this great personality that you never get to see because of all this.
Yeah.
So I think the more Ichiro you can get, the better.
Yeah.
Like, bring it out, do more. Get more of him out there for sure.
Socially relevant.
Let's do a little socially relevant. Uh-huh. First, because Joel Embiid, he can't go that long without being in the spotlight, so he's got to do something.
Shots.
He is not afraid to bring it.
Baca.
Now, do you like this? Because Joel out in tweets, don't compare Ayton to me either. I play defense.
Nah, dog. I don't love that. The same way I didn't love DeAndre Ayton getting up in there. And, like, Joel, you could say.
But at least he's done it.
I know, but you don't have to throw the youngin' under the bus saying, I play defense. You know what I mean? Like, you don't really have to do that. You could say something to the effect of, yo, young fella's got to come in here and prove something. Or.
Right.
You know, he ain't on my level yet or something like that. But then to throw in the I play defense, that's a shot.
So here's what I think. Because I think a lot of times I get misperceived on Twitter, especially from Alabama fans. Like, when I tweet, I'm not angry. I'm not doing it. I'm either putting out stuff to get a reaction.
Right.
Or I'm doing it to put out facts or something, some opinion I have. I think Joel Embiid is playfully talking trash. I don't think he's calling out Ayton. That's why I'm kind of okay with it.
Wow.
I think a lot of his stuff is he's – he's kind of laughing. He's got this big personality. I'm hoping that anyway.
You know what, bro?
If he's really throwing him under the bus, then he's a jerk.
I'm that dude. I don't like to text, and I don't like to tweet, and I don't like to do nothing. I want to hear your voice.
It because it can be lost in translation.
I need to hear the tone with which you're saying this, bro, because...
taking him literally.
Yeah, damn right. If I'm DeAndre, I'm on the phone. Like, Joel, what up, pimpin'?
Yeah,
like, what's going on?
Right. We throwing down now or what? All right, I'm definitely not going to have you follow me on Twitter after me for some of the stuff I put about the Miami Hurricanes. All right, now let's do it. Let's get to five-star Q&A. Hannah, what do you got for us? Hopefully some good questions.
Five-star Q&A.
There are some pretty good ones today. All right, first one is from B-Flood. He says, can you describe a time when your coaching staff created a play or made an adjustment during the week for a specific matchup or situation, and it was a major success in that game?
Yeah, the 0-1 playoffs with Larry Brown. It was the only coach I've ever seen. Like, every time we played and we advanced in the playoffs, we would come in the 3 days between the next series, and we would kind of revamp our offense. And we'd steal stuff from the team that had just had success against us. And most teams don't do that. They just stick with what you do. He would add something for each series we went to, and it would be successful, and it would catch teams off guard and give us a chance to advance. And conversely, I've been in a lot of huddles in Utah with a name.
Your boy.
Yeah, where you're standing there waiting for him to draw something up, and he's just befuddled and just standing there waiting, and the whole team's like, what are we going to run, bro? What are we doing? And everybody's looking at me. I'm like, I don't know. Yeah, so anyway.
So I've seen this work both ways. In-game, there have been a couple adjustments, like, specifically, but you talk about the copycat, like the taking stealing plays.
Yep.
Dan Reeves, and the NFL is notorious for doing this, but Dan Reeves and his staff were guiltier than most. Like, we would watch other games and be like, yep, we're going to run that play this week. We're going to try it. And some of them worked, some of them failed. Jim Fossil had a play we ran to Chris Callaway where he was always like on this little 5 yard out in the slot. We ran it a lot on third down.
Yeah.
And we ran it in overtime. We made just a little tweak to it where he ran a wheel route where he faked the out and then went up, and we game winning touchdown pass in overtime at Detroit. So, yeah, for sure. Like, this happens all the time. I would say the majority of them, though, don't work that great.
Right.
Your stuff always runs better that you know better as opposed to trying to copy what somebody else does.
Yeah, because you practice it for so long. You're good at it.
Yep.
All right, we got one from our boy, Rob from ATL. He says, Raja, whom's man is the Golden State Warriors, Steph or KD?
You explain this to me.
There's an inside joke on this one with whomst man.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
It's a Barstool reference, right? Oh. Debo's all
in. Forgive me. Debo, take this. Whomst man? I don't know.
Yeah.
A little.
KD. I'll say KD.
All right. I'll say Steph Curry.
All right.
Steph Curry. He means more.
Bases covered.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Danny, I feel like this one's for you. This is from Big B. It says, if you had a son and you walked into his room and he was listening to vulgar rap music, at what age would you say, I don't want you listening to that type of music? And at what age would you say, keep it down, not around your mom?
I would say, for me personally, because I'm going to deal with this with my daughters at once, I would probably try to turn that ish down would come all the way up till probably like 14 or 15.
Right.
And then at one point, I wouldn't say keep it away from your mom. I would try to have a conversation like, what do you put, like a more serious conversation, like, what do you put in your brain? Like, are you really listening to what they're saying? But I've had, like, I remember being a kid and my dad brought in Motley Crue, Dr. Feelgood, and I listened to everything, like, hard. And he took the CD out, it was like a scene from a music video, took it, threw it on the ground, like, stomped it. I was like, you're not listening to this garbage anymore.
Get him,
like, come on, Dad. And then I just, like, went and had another one burn.
Yeah, get him, Mr. Cannell. Yeah. Are vulgar, like, what? Like sexual content and, like, or curse words?
Oh, obscene. No, because curse words, you literally cannot find a song on the radio that they don't have curse words. I'm saying, like, vulgar, crossing the line, like, sexually.
Yeah, I'm with
all
you.
Of it.
Yeah, 14, something like that. Like, my kids listen to Biggie and Pac with me sometimes, and there's curse in that.
Right.
But I will cringe and turn it off if, like, we're on Pandora or something and somebody's starting to talk about, like, sexual. I'm like, whoa!
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Yep. Yeah, Little Kim.
Little Kim, for sure. Yeah.
T. Rich says, what have been your best / most outrageous Halloween costumes? So it's a weird month to ask this question. Danny, have you ever considered Danny Werfel?
I have not. That's a pretty good one, though, because we've been confused all the time. In fact, just the other day, we had a guy, and he was like something like, hey, go Gators. I'm like, oh, wrong team, wrong Danny. It happens all the time. I did not go with that, but look at that.
That wouldn't be a
photo.
Good costume.
No, I don't think so costume. Either. I don't think so either.
I think it would be dope.
Maybe I will do it.
Hey, awesome.
T. Rich, that is
pretty cool. I dressed up a few years ago as Ron Burgundy.
Nice. Was Halloween a big deal in the NBA? It was a pretty big deal in the NFL. Like, depending on teams, but for the most part, like, it was a good party.
Depending on the places, but Darren Williams used to throw some epic, like, Halloween parties. And that was fun. But my Ron Burgundy costume, I was really proud of it because I got the wig, I got the mustache. I didn't do like white face, if you will.
Right.
But I went as like a blonde hair, black Ron Burgundy.
Right.
And it was kind of funny.
I got to see pics. We got to see photos.
Yeah. Picture
didn't. Pixar didn't happen. I would say for me, my wife, when we first got married, we were in Denver. There was a big Halloween party. So I went as a Denver Broncos cheerleader, and my wife went as me, like all padded up and like in the helmet. And I went as a Denver Broncos cheerleader, like full on wigs. Yeah, it was pretty good. I do have pictures, but I don't know if we're going to see those. All right. Is that it? That's a wrap for Five-Star Q&A. Thanks, everybody, for checking us out. Hope everybody has a fantastic weekend. Next week, we're going to only be on Monday and Tuesday, and we're going to have a little break for some vacation time.
Yeah,
we're allowed to do that every once in a while, too. So just Monday and Tuesday pods next week. Thanks for checking us out. And make sure, as always, go follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Canal and Dunn.